I think that tangible problem solving versus, you know, what I'm doing on a virtual environment all day long, is really tapping into some kind of, you know, primitive component of the brain.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, and welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zach Reeser. I'm your host. And for this episode, I have been practicing so that I'd be prepared for this, because this gentleman I've known now for about 8 years, maybe nine.
Been a while.
It's been a while. And kind of like layers, you choose whatever you want, layers of cake, as Shrek said, I think it was Shrek, or, you know, layers of onion. But every time I sit down with this gentleman, we have a fun time, and you always learn something new and probably walk away a little bit thunderstruck with something you also learned. So I'm just building it up for you. Your face says it all.
Yeah. You know, I think you're really overselling me here, but we'll see what happens.
Oh, well, on this episode, I'm joining my good friend, Mr. Alex Stern. Alex, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Zach. I'm excited to be on the pod. How are you doing?
Doing great. Prior to getting ready for this thing and jumping on here, teaching and learning a lot of the AI Zoom functions. And I appreciate that education. So if anybody's on Zoom, there's a lot of new features on there that you can go in and you can put on whatever you want, but it really ups the mood.
Yeah. We cut loose with the Zoom video filters a little bit. We tried on the face masks for safety, even though we are in different states. You can't be too careful these days.
Yep.
I think it was a real good icebreaker. I think we're warmed up and ready to rock now.
We are. We have no idea where we're going. So let's get there quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Sit through it.
Thanks again for getting on this podcast with me. And I'm excited to just dive in a little bit about being a dad. Because you were privy to the early days of ideation around Baby Daddy CO2, which was like the V.001 of this thing. And it's evolved over time. And if you're open to it, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll take it from there.
Absolutely. Well, I am originally from Pittsburgh, so not a Steelers fan. That's the first thing everyone asks, but I'm like the one person from Pittsburgh who is not a Steelers fan. So apologies if you're a Steelers fan, to all the listeners. No offense, you know, I'm nothing against them, just not a fan. I'm a Florida Gator, which is kind of sad lately for like last decade or so. And we're bad again, so that's great. Still beat Tennessee. So, you know, can't do that.
It's a quick podcast here.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No, it's okay. It was a good game, if I remember right, or blocked it out. We've gotten over the Gator Volunteers thing when we first met as a bit of a point of contention, but we're adults.
Exactly. We're very mature about our alliances. I am a Colorado transplant. I'm one of the people that everyone around here doesn't like because I am adding to the traffic and stuff, but I've been here a long time. I feel like I kind of count as a native, even though I'm not. And so obviously my son is a native. He's about 17 months old. So he's really awesome. Learning all kinds of new things, doing a lot of stuff, walking around, running around. So it's really exciting watching him, and I have a super awesome wife who makes really cool babies. So that's great too.
you had a small role to play in that. So give yourself some credit. But she wasn't available tonight. So I appreciate you standing in.
Hey, thank you. second place is still pretty good.
No, she is amazing. And by having your son there, you get the bumper sticker now. He gets the bumper sticker, so it makes you closer to being a native than you were. So congratulations on that.
For those who don't know what Zach is talking about, here in Colorado, if you are actually from Colorado, you have to put this bumper sticker on your car that says native. It's apparently an important thing to note to strangers while you're driving around. We're going to put that on the car because our 17-month-old son is a native. And when people ask, we're good. You can't tell me, we've got one in the car just because I'm not. He's one.
Native transport.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a question for anybody listening, wherever you live, because we've got California all the way to the East Coast, Canada, UK, Ireland, Australia. My question is, and wherever you live, because we've moved back to Nashville and there's no one from here. So in what city does anyone really live that they're from? Now, I know there's a lot of people that do, but bigger towns, a lot of transplants. So there's a cash cow out there for anybody that doesn't see a native bumper sticker around your city. If you happen to go and do that, maybe you're in Pittsburgh, then you create a native bumper sticker, just give a little cred this way, and have fun with it.
But that's right. The Skilled Dad Podcast. Make sure you send a royalty check over here.
That's it. Just put some comments in here. You can shoot us an email at contact@skilleddad.com and we'll talk. It's good.
All right, Zach. So we can check bumper sticker chat off of our detailed list of topics on the pod today. So awesome. Knocked one out.
I'm glad that we did that. It was important. I wanted to get out of the way fast because I was afraid I'd forget. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah, I'm excited to hear more about the last 17 months that you guys have had, because you've had a bit of a journey of fatherhood. And one of the things before we had moved away that I was always impressed by with you, you were fixing cars, you're redoing your cabinets, and you had a lot of hands-on things, but then also just the sitting down and having some like really good conversation with. So it's kind of the full gambit. So now you've got your son there and 17 months. I'm excited to hear about your story. So my first question for you is, when your son arrived, I'm curious, what surprised you the most? Because you guys have been waiting for a while. So what surprised you the most?
Yeah, that's very true. We were having a tough time, just in terms of having a kid or, even, getting pregnant. So it was quite a ride to get there. It's one of those things where it's extremely difficult while you're in that situation. And then, at least for me, the moment that kid arrives, a lot of that gets washed away. It's really just excitement that we finally got here, which I think, is a little bit unique for me, because there are definitely some things where I can maybe dwell on the negative a little bit more than I should. I'm a work in progress, like all of us. But that was definitely something where, however many years it was that we were trying to have a kid unsuccessfully, you kind of just, that sort of gets washed away. It was pretty cool when he arrives. I think getting to your actual question, really what was interesting to me is I knew nothing about being a dad, raising a baby. Which is like from the hospital, like baby class. It's like, here's how to change a diaper. Here's how to burp the baby. Here's how to give him a bottle, that kind of stuff.
Did you do that like, the day before he arrived, kind of like we did? It's so, here's this class. Good luck.
Well, so our experience was kind of a little different from yours, even in that he was a COVID baby. So he was born in 2020. So we actually had no hands-on class. We had to do it on Zoom. which wow. was, it was actually kind of nice, just for convenience. We were able to sit on the couch and do the baby class instead of, you know, having to go to the hospital once a week for however many weeks. But, you know, add to that another wrinkle where, he was actually a couple months early, compared to what his actual due date was supposed to be. And so you're pretty close that, we had our class, then pretty soon after we had a, had a little gentleman on it. And so, you know, there's just so much that surprises you and that you just learn on the way. But I think what was really cool for me is you know, babies are kind of designed in such a way that you pick up what you need as you go. Like, you don't really have to know what you're doing. And, you know, they're real simple at first. You really just have to change them, give them a hug, give them a bottle, give them birth, back to sleep. They kind of go easy on you. I know that's probably not the case for all the folks, listening to the pod. But in our case, our little guy was extremely mellow. And so he made it real easy on us, which I appreciated.
Yeah, that's nice. That's real nice. It took me, I think, until our third for that to be mellow. Cause you know, G Money, he was not a chill baby. He's chill now.
Yeah.
But he was not a chill baby. So that's great that's what you got for the first experience. I'm curious
about you into it.
What's that?
We really got eased into the baby experience for sure.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious about your class. Did you get a certificate at the end, like online certificate for completing that class?
That's a good question. I don't know. I would have to check with Melissa and see if we got a certificate of completion on that. But
yeah, it really doesn't matter, I guess, because you got a baby now. And so that's a win. But I was just curious because that is such a different experience. Then now there's a lot of people on here that could be listening that had that experience that would understand it. But that's an extra challenge I've not thought about. Like, you go to the kind of the baby class. If you go to baby class, you've never touched a diaper before. Did you have diapers on hand that you're like, okay, I'm going to follow along and follow the bouncing ball? Or like,
so
what is,
we did not actually, this was a case where, you know, thankfully he was early, but he wasn't extremely premature, where he had a NICU stay, and that was basically due to he just needed to learn how to eat and how to breathe on his own. And so he was in, you know, he was in great shape, and a lot of premature babies obviously need a lot more help, where you know, they're more in a, you know, he was in the natal intensive care unit, but his care wasn't super intensive because, you know, he was in good shape, and we were really blessed in that way that, you know, there's a lot of babies in NICU that need a lot more attention. But I will say having that NICU experience was really the hands-on experience we got with that. Cause yeah, I had never changed a diaper in my life. And we then had a couple of weeks in the NICU where we are in with highly skilled nurses who take care of these little babies all day, every day. And, they were just incredible people. They were so willing to like teach me things and walk me through a process of, you say, change a diaper, and obviously it's a little hands on because, he's an actual baby at that point. So, you know, it's not changing a diaper on a baby doll or something like that. It's on an actual baby. But they were incredible, where, you know, they would just be real hands on with you and let you do stuff and be like, no, let's not do that. And so it was actually, you know, really great to be able to learn from them when they're doing this, you know, all day, every day, with, you know, all kinds of little babies. So that was pretty cool.
You got like a live action hands on training for a couple of weeks. That's
really did it.
That's actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, it exactly. Yeah. And obviously, you're certainly not hoping to be in the NICU, but,
right.
With that experience came the chance to learn from the pros. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that is good. I mean, especially during the kind of the you know, COVID time period, which was a new, I know state by state, it varied so much with what people could do, couldn't do. I know some guys that couldn't be in for the delivery itself. And so sounds like, I think I know the hospital you guys went to. I mean, all in all, it's there's some great medical care over there. So that's really good. I'm curious, if you were to look back, even with them coming early, is there anything that you wish you would have dove into a little earlier to prep yourself?
You know, I think this is a question that if he was a little more of a needy baby or a loud baby or, you know, whatever the case may be, I think I would probably answer that question with yes.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, no, just because he is such a mellow little dude.
You lucked out.
We really did. We really did. And we keep joking that whenever the hopeful next one will come, that he or she will probably be a terror and be screaming at us 24/7.
Embrace it.
Yeah, exactly. No, and we will enjoy that in its own special way. But he was a great training wheels baby and is still a really good training wheels baby, just because he's just gone with the flow, you know.
But he does have a view in his mom for some influence on that, because you guys are pretty chill,
low key,
but a lot of fun. So, you know, that's good that he's taken up that mantle there. So he's like, let's go.
He has.
You mentioned a little bit about the journey. I guess I didn't preface well into that. I didn't really think about it the right way. But would you be open to sharing any of that journey and what that was like? Because I do know a variety of people that have experienced the same thing that listen to the show, and some of them going through that now. Would you be open to sharing some of that and kind of what it was like you'd mentioned, you know, on the way up to that?
Sure. Absolutely. We got married, back in 2014. So, we were trying to have a kiddo and really nothing, no action, nothing was happening in terms of positive pregnancy tests or anything along those lines. And so that, you know, that went on for a few years, and we tried various things, you know, in terms of that. For those of you listening to the show, some of you may be familiar with a lot of this. There's technology for this. You can get like a wristband that'll tell you like if you're ovulating. There's these sticks that you can get. There's all these various products out there that'll, you know, at least claim to help out. And I'm sure they do for a lot of people. And, you know, in our case, probably in the case of some other folks, none of that really made a difference for us. And, we went to talk to some doctors, and, in hindsight, I think there were just some things going on with like short staffing issues and that sort of thing that wasn't really communicated to us. So we were kind of getting frustrated in terms of just the level of attention we were receiving, and there wasn't really much communication going on, and we just really didn't know what was happening. And so, you know, overall it was a multi-year process that really involved a lot of frustration and sadness. And, thankfully, Melissa and I really leaned on our faith and leaned on each other during that time. And, we made the best of it is really how I would put it. Like it, you know, it's not something that you're enjoying when you really want to have a kid and it's not working. But, thankfully we were able to get through that time. Make the best of it is really the best way I can put it. We got to, in hindsight, enjoy each other without, as those of you who are dads know, a constant source of distraction from each other. So, we made the best of it. I will just hit that point again. So yeah, you know, it was a long journey, and really had some definite low points. You know, we are here, and really excited to have our little guy with us now. So
yeah. Yeah, you are. And getting, you know, through that, and I know that there were, during that time, we had a really good community. I mean, a number of us have kind of, you know, moved away in different places. But what were some of the things that kind of helped you? I mean, that multi-year period, I mean, what did you say, is 6 years, 5.5 years, I guess?
Yeah, five years, I think, till we started actually making some progress. So
yeah. Like, so sticking with each other, but if there's somebody out there that is kind of working through that, is there anything that helped you guys that would be a help to them? Or maybe someone's listening that has a friend going through it that they can, you know, even how to support that. Cause one of the things, this topic came up, this is actually a couple months ago now, but, the guy actually called me and said, it's not that I don't want to help, I just don't know how to, I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know if you have anything on that to kind of help out with, but what was kind of your experience around that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, first, I guess I would say, just know that it's not just you. I think it's not something, you know, infertility is not something that we really talk about a whole lot. And it's like super common, I guess I would say. When you really, I think, start talking to people and they're willing to open up, a lot of people have similar stories. And, you know, maybe their time period was shorter, maybe their time period was longer. Maybe the medical intervention required is more or less than whatever your situation is. But it's super common now. And so I think just having that knowledge, is really helpful, just to know it's not just you. I'm obviously not the authority here, but from my perspective, I'll tell you, there's, you know, it's not something you're doing wrong. It's not something that's wrong with you, or your partner, whatever the case may be. I think it's just really helpful to know that this is a thing that happens, and it's not uncommon. You know, if you're a person who, you know, you have a friend or a family member or whatever the case may be, in terms of supporting someone going through this, I think it's just important to think of yourself as a support system. So, you know, try not to offer just platitudes about, it'll happen for you, I know it's going to happen. I think, for me personally, and everybody's different, you know, you're going to know your friends better than I do, speaking about them vaguely and imagining them on the internet. But for me, you know, just being willing to listen and being supportive is really the best thing to do. You know, I'm not really into, you know, the random vote of confidence, like, you guys are going to beat this. I mean, sure. Like, I get that. But I think what was helpful for us was, you know, having guys like yourself, Zach, and as you mentioned, our group, where, you know, we could go have a beer and just be like, you know, this kind of stinks. And having guys who are willing to listen and not, you know, try to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something that I've had to learn over the years, that I think it's better to listen instead of fixing. As you know, my own personality, and from what I understand, it's sort of a man thing to want to fix it. And you see your buddy is feeling kind of down, and you want to make it better. You want to say something that's going to make it better, do something that's going to make it better. And sometimes when they're going through something like this, it's best to just, you know, listen and just be there for them.
Yeah.
That'd be my 2 cents or 12 cents on that topic.
Well, thank you for that. And you've experienced it, right? So even what was helpful for you could be helpful for someone else that either has a friend or they themselves. But you're right, the solution-based thing as husbands, men, dads, the solutions-based often is how we operate. And one of the things, if anybody goes back and listens to the Jake Smith episode, he dives into this a little bit. And I think there's a lot of good takeaways and nuggets from that too. But sometimes just listening and being there and recognizing the suck, as Jocko Willink says, embrace the suck. Just understand that something is there and be able to listen and not necessarily coming back and saying, you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Because the hard reality is we don't know that. And we don't really know. We don't know that. Right. And so that's a great takeaway. Thanks for diving into it. And I hope that is an encouragement to some folks out there that may be experiencing that or know somebody that is. And like you said, I know several right now that mm-hmm. that's part of their journey, and it's hard and it sucks. And, but you're on the flip side of that after perseverance and continue to go through, and now you've got your little man there. So let's take a couple minutes and look at that side of it.
Yeah.
And, since he's been born, he had the NICU, you got your one-on-one mentorship. So there's, a little bit of good in that space too, right? That, hey, I kind of benefited from that. And he started to grow. What's been one of the things that, here's a question for you. Sure. When did it hit you that you're like, snap, I'm dad? When did it actually hit you?
Honestly, the second he popped out of there.
Yeah.
to put it rather crudely. he came out. In Colorado, babies are very blue. I think it's due to the altitude.
Oxygen, less oxygen.
Yeah. I've also never had a child elsewhere, so maybe that's universal. Please feel free to correct me, listeners. But he was a little blue man, and we had the nurses there ready to rock, and they got him on the little oxygen thing. And, of course, those moments while you're waiting for him to, let that first cry out, that feels like 1,000 years while you're waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
I heard that first cry, and I immediately started bawling. And of course my poor wife is sitting there wondering what in the world is going on. So I managed to give her the two thumbs up to just illustrate that these were happy tears and not anything bad was happening. But I got to hold the little guy up and cut the cord, and I noticed he looked like my recently deceased grandfather. That was the immediate impression that I got, which was really cool. Just to see that. And I think that was kind of an instant bonding moment, where you see somebody that you already love in somebody new who you love. And, I think it was just immediate where it hit me.
That's awesome. Now, especially if you saw kind of that familiar figure. And you guys have been through such a journey, right? And so to hit that moment, that's really cool. It's always interesting to ask that question with guys that I talk to, because I do get a variety of answers. And it's been a different time for all three of my kids. Like for Grant, G Money, it was like when he was probably, I don't even remember exactly, it was probably like 3.5-4 months when he first smiled and grabbed my finger and interacted, where I was like, whoa, okay, we're beyond just me. I couldn't feed him, couldn't do things like that. He was breastfeeding, right? So I didn't work well in that department. So it was more like get up in the middle of the night, transport him back, okay, and then interaction, and you're like, okay, the human being, here we go. So no, that's really cool. You mentioned your grandfather, and with grandfathers, dads, all that. What are a couple of things that you learned from them that you're looking to take to your son?
Oh man, I mean, self-reliance. My grandfather on the mother's side, he had a good chunk of land out there, and you know, I would just, in the summertime when I was little, they would just take me out there and drop me off, and I'd just follow my grandpa around for a couple of weeks. And you know, he was one of those guys where if something breaks, you fix it. And they were out in the country enough that, you know, we don't have the garbage man. You drag the trash out on the tractor and you burn it. And he called it his garden, and I would describe it as a small field. To most of us who live in the suburbs, I think the idea of a garden is a raised bed in the backyard where got a tomato plant, got a carrot, got a potato, you know, whatever the case may be. And his was rows and rows of various veggies and fruits and stuff. And yeah, so we'd go out there and we'd pick potatoes and whatever was ripe at the time. And so, you know, I mean, he certainly wasn't living off the land or anything. We'd still go to the grocery store, you know, do normal stuff. But I think just that when it breaks, you fix it kind of thing really stuck with me. And that's something I got from my father as well. You kind of mentioned, I think, at the beginning of the pod that I like to work on cars. And yeah, I was doing our cabinets and that kind of thing. And that's just something that really brings me a lot of satisfaction.
Yeah.
Fixing something when it doesn't work, or making something new when the opportunity arises. And so, yeah, I think grandpa and dad both really drilled into me, you know, just be able to rely on yourself for most things.
So that's where you got your MacGyver skills from, both grandpa and dad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It probably drives my wife nuts, but yeah, breaking random for when some goofy random thing around the house breaks and I'd go like air quote fix it with some terrible, ugly innovation. I had this little broom that the handle snapped off of, because this thing's probably 600 years old. That's a slight exaggeration. It's not an antique or anything, so no worries. If you were concerned about that, but I was, you know, punched a hole through it with a drill and like knocked the broken part off the handle and shoved it back in the hole, and you know, punched a machine screw and a nut through there and continued using that broom you know, stuff like that where
do you still have
a ridiculous amount of effort for something that's probably not worth it.
But I mean, are you still using it though? The broom?
It did actually fail again. And
sorry to set you up there.
At that juncture, yeah. So I squeezed another year or so out of it. So I think it was worthwhile.
Oh, yeah. That's the lead, man. You can't bury the lead. Like a whole year?
You know.
You saved yourself like at least $5 for that year.
Yeah. It's, you know, time value of money and all that stuff. And whatever I didn't spend on a broom today, make an interest. That's sweet, sweet interest.
Yeah, let me ask you this though. So outside of the joke about $5, sometimes I know you and I share some of this too. Sometimes the challenge in fixing it is more than just having a fixed broom. It's like, no. We're gonna find a way to fix this bad boy. Kind of the old Tim Allen stuff. I don't know. That's how it is for me. Is that how it is for you? Or you're just kind of like, I'm just gonna fix this. I don't even think about that.
That's absolutely how it is for me. You know, I'm a desk job guy. I sit at a computer all day. I look at screens. I type. I talk to people in meetings for half the day. And, you know, I wait on people to get approvals on things. And, you know, that can really wear you down as a human being. I think we are created with a desire to create. And I think when your day to day involves a lot of stopping and starting and not finishing and, you know, things along those lines, I think that can really cause you some mental anguish. And, you know, I really do derive a lot of satisfaction out of fixing things. I recently picked up a 1992 Jeep Comanche at the impound auction.
Of course you did.
I did.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had a company day off and I spent all day under that thing, just, you know, knocking off 30-year-old suspension components and bolting on new ones. And, you know, when you pull that thing back off the jack stands and drive it around, and it feels a lot better than it did. Granted, it's a 1992 Jeep Comanche. It's never going to drive beautifully, but, there is a distinct satisfaction, I think, both in being able to achieve something that you can see made a difference. And I think for someone like myself who has a desk job, working with your hands and with your brain, because at the end of the day, working on a car is a lot of problem solving. It's, you know, I got this out and I don't remember where, like, you know, how does it align? How do I put it back in?
Yeah.
Or how do I get this thing out? I can't get a tool on this fastener. So what exactly do I do here? I think that tangible problem solving versus, you know, what I'm doing on a virtual environment all day long, is really tapping into some kind of, you know, primitive component of the brain where, you know, we're designed to be up and about hunting, acquiring food and taking care of business. And I think doing stuff with your hands really kind of taps into that and gives you a level of satisfaction that it's just hard to find when you're, you know, sitting at a desk.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that you've got that outlet and you know, the thing that brings you that kind of creative, you know, life. When I've seen you do it, when you're redoing your cabinet doors, you were working on your Beamer at the time, all those things, it just seemed like it brought you joy. And that's awesome that you've got that outlet and that you've learned to do it. And if you don't know, you problem solve it. Like you said, it's like, what's this piece? Let me make a Franken broom.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, and there's my unsolicited advice. Maybe we can do like a sound effect, like Alex's unsolicited advice. That's going to be like a segment on the show.
We'll do a clip. A skill clip. Alex's unsolicited advice. This whole podcast is unsolicited advice. But by downloading and listening, you are opting in.
You're here. In that case, but you know, I think it's advice about being a dad and not about working on your car. But I guess my tip would just be, if that's something you're interested in doing, give it a try. Because I think a lot of people get intimidated and, you know, frankly, the big car doesn't want you to work on your car because they make a lot of money servicing it. Like, I think, you know, they make a little money selling cars, but they make a lot of money fixing cars. And for a couple of bucks, you can go out there and get yourself some ramps and a set of tools. And you've got YouTube, my friends. This is the greatest repository of knowledge in the history of humanity. You know, try to change your oil. It's pretty easy. You'll get dirty. So if you don't like getting dirty, then maybe don't try that. But, I think once you try that, you'll be like, hey, that was all right. And then maybe you move on to something like changing your brake pads, which is another thing that's reasonably easy. I will say, make sure you feel confident in doing that because it is a safety thing. So just a little disclaimer.
That's right.
But this stuff is easier than I think you might think it is. So don't bite off more than you can chew. But if you're interested, give it a try. It's worthwhile. It's a fun hobby. I guess maybe not for everyone. If you don't want your hobby to be like someone else's job, but if you're interested, give it a shot. I think it's a little more straightforward than you might think it is.
No, I love that tie, and I'm going to apply it to like beyond whatever that thing is that's intimidating you, but you have interest in it. Just taking a step and diving in, because you might find that I told my son this the other day. I don't even remember what it was, but he kept saying, oh, this thing. I was like, dude, you're actually torturing yourself longer than it's actually going to take you to just do it. So I think that's great advice. And remind me to send you a picture after this. I might have to post this on the Instagram at some point, when my tire almost fell off, because you know how you said, make sure you take it to a professional if you don't feel comfortable or whatever. Or if you didn't say that, I'm saying it. The professionals forgot to tighten all my tires. And so one of my wheels fell off on the highway. So it's all right. Yeah, we're good. We got it towed home. but I didn't have my go bag with like other clothes and shoes. So we changed an axle. We changed a lug nut stud, and I got my hands just all nasty with axle grease and my nice brown leather shoes right underneath it. Dive in. I'd never changed an axle before. My dad had, so we dove into it, but it's great. I love that advice, man. Unsolicited advice from Alex. Just dive in and do it. Pull a Nike.
Yeah. Well, and I also appreciate where you took that and kind of related it back, because I do think there's applications in this to being a dad as well, because I'm a newer dad, obviously. You've got more experience than I do, Zach, but I think there's a lot of challenges that having a kid presents you where you're in your comfort zone when it's just, you know, it's you by yourself. Eventually it's you and your partner. And you're doing what you want to do. Nobody's, you know, when it's your free time, nobody's telling you, you got to do something you don't want to do. All of a sudden this little person comes around and they are challenging you every single day to get out of your comfort zone because, you know, they want to go to the park and play with the other kids. And, you know, maybe that's not your personality where you, maybe that makes you uncomfortable to be around all those people or whatever the case may be. And, you know, they want to go to the kids' gym and, you know, they have all these demands on your time that you weren't planning on. And also they're putting you in situations that maybe you wouldn't naturally gravitate towards. And so there is a lot of that, you know, getting outside of your comfort zone in dadding, which is probably kind of an obvious point, but we're going to make my unsolicited advice really relevant to the topic of the pod here.
No, it's, you know, the cool thing is as men, as dads, part of the being a dad thing is like, it's the job that we will never not be for the rest of our life. But we don't stop being ourselves. We are who we are. There's things that we can go and learn and do and push ourselves, which is part of the reason we do this. And also know that we're not the only ones, whether it's hardships or new challenges or exciting things we're going after. There's a lot of us out there because this is life. One thing that you said that resonates with me is sometimes they do that, you know, they want to do something that I have no problem doing normally. But honestly, right now, I just don't want to. Like, I just don't want to. Whatever the things are that have gone on during the week. But then I remind myself, and I'm not batting 1,000 on this one. But honestly, doing this podcast and diving into this exercise over the last few months, really over the last year when it's been forming and then actually launching a few months ago, I just realized I don't want to, but man, I probably am going to want to as soon as they're not here. And my clock is running. And so I've got this little clock for, you know, each of them that reminds me, and my date is 18 years. Like, that's kind of my exit date. But, you know, 18 years minus however old they are, show me how many days I got, show me how many hours I got, show me how many years I got. And it reminds me that maybe I just need to get my butt up and do it even if I don't want to, because I don't want to do it and not be able to.
Yep.
So there's my unsolicited advice for you as those times come. And your chill boy gets some energy, is ready to rock and roll.
Oh, he's very busy. He is always rocking and rolling. He's kind of complaining. That's the chill component. But no, this little man, he never stops.
I love it. Man, thanks so much for sitting down with me on this podcast. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was great to be on. Awesome conversation and nice to see you, man.
Oh, well, I think we'll close with this. So there's a place, and this is a bit of a homage, but one of the cool things we had in Colorado was a great group of guys and, you know, experienced a lot of life together, a lot of good discussions, a lot of witty jokes. It was just fun. And there's a location that we used to go to, and it was called the Boardroom, and unfortunately the Boardroom recently closed. So I think pretty much all of us now have been on this podcast at one point. We might just have a special episode of bringing the virtual Boardroom and bring the band back together, grab a couple of beers and just let it rip and see what happens, like old times. And then there's so much unsolicited advice and good jokes that'll come out of that, that it might have to be like a special paid version. I don't know. Could be good.
I do miss our board meetings. Yeah. And I think definitely premium content for the Patreon subscribers.
There it is. Yes. So get in now before it goes premium and Patreon. That's it. Alex, thanks so much, dude. I appreciate having you on, and look forward to the next time here.
Absolutely. Great to be here, Zach.
Hey guys, if you made it to this point, we got some really good unsolicited advice at the end that is well worth noting. I got a couple of big nuggets out of this, and honestly, some big reminders too. Hopefully you did. The biggest thing here is that you're able to find something that you can take and apply to your life on your journey to becoming the skilled dad. We're so glad that you've tuned in and listening. If you want to learn more information, you can go to theskilleddad.com. You can also follow us in the social verse on whatever platform at Skilled Dad. And if any of the conversation came up, made you think of someone else, please share it with them. We'd love for you to subscribe to this, share it with your friends. But again, most importantly is that you take something away from this that you can apply to your life on your journey to becoming the skilled dad. We look forward to having you next time. Again, more information at skilleddad.com. I'm Zach Reeser. You're listening to The Skilled Dad.